Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Let's start off with a piece called Soul Broker. I was never part of the in crowd in schools. Not that I didn't desire social acceptance, but that required cultivation. An itinerant military family develops few conventions or social skills. Landing in a new school every year or so makes you a permanent outsider, and you get used to that. So it was with dubious prospect to spend 3 years in the same high school, including graduation. Something the stranger in town learns quickly is that there are three social strategies: conform, submerge, or vamoose. The last was not my chosen tactic. It was my lifestyle as a military brat. By regularly hightailing it, I never felt relentless pressure to conform or conceal my socially unconventional quirks, because I knew I could unexpectedly be gone in a month. So I decided I might as well be myself. As a science nerd, I wore a slide rule on my belt, flaunted my white socks, and flouted religious convention. Sophomore year at Chicopee Comprehensive High School, my agnosticism began to feel more a coward's atheism. Although it might startle many in our country now hurtling towards seeming theocracy, many high school students in the 60s, I was class of 65, were not threatened by religious debate, and some were brave enough to entertain the notion that some religious dogma was rather superstitious. One day in lunchroom, I hatched a plan to challenge the more open-minded as we were debating some elements of religion that I felt to be rather spooky. "Do you believe in a soul?" I asked no one in particular. Christine Pelzarski was the first to accept that dare. I liked Christine. She was vivacious with an easy liquid laugh, long blonde hair and blue eyes, but not really in the social clique. I thought she was pretty and I had a crush on her. "In what way?" she asked. "You know, like on the Twilight Zone where some guy called Scratch or Old Nick offers to buy your soul with a written contract." "Don't be silly," she wrinkled her nose. "Then will you sell me your soul for a penny?" "Why not?" she answered boldly. She had called my bluff, so I tore off a piece of notebook paper and wrote up a simple deed. "I, Christine Pelzarski, sell my soul to Don Horton for the sum of 1 penny. She signed it, I gave her a penny. We both made some kind of point, though it wasn't a deed to her soul that I wanted. Several other kids at the table didn't want to be one-upped and also agreed to sell their souls. I tore off several other scraps of paper, making up the deeds, and had a half a dozen souls in my possession. The next day at lunchtime, Roland Cipolla approached me. "I hear you're buying souls. Want mine?" Ron was another base rat, and I would find them to be disproportionately represented in my cash. Okay. Another scrap of paper, another penny, another soul. To my surprise, this was starting to become a trend. Soon I had a collection of souls ranging from basketball players to highly popular in-crowd souls such as the beautiful Susan Ducharme. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with my devil's booty, but I had gained an odd notoriety verging on something like respect. Well, that's probably overstating it. More like my quirk factor had been squared or cubed. Then, an unexpected turn. Joe Formby, a football star, came to me asking if I had Susan Ducharme's soul. "Yeah, I do. Would you be willing to sell it?" And people thought I was odd. I didn't answer right away because I was so surprised. Joe apparently took this to be bargaining and offered me 25 cents. I really didn't want to be on his bad side, so I agreed immediately. He loped off, staring at the scrap of paper in his hand, grinning like a chimp. The next day, Al Hunter came to me for Judy Deck's soul. "I don't have Judy's soul," I said, looking up at the 6'4" basketball player. "Well, see if you can get it," he said with a scowl. He strode off, leaving me to wonder what I had gotten myself into. I would see Judy tomorrow in English class, but she was pretty devout, and I was pretty sure she wouldn't agree. The next morning in homeroom, I got a note to report to the vice principal's office. Good grief. I sat in the overly big wooden chair outside Mr. Koskor's office until he called me in. Donald, I've gotten several calls from parents saying you are buying and selling souls. Is this true? Well, not exactly. Yes or no? Well, yes, I guess. Do you have the deeds? He glowered. I dug around in my book bag and handed him the ragged pile of scraps. You are officially out of business. And if I could think of a commensurate punishment, I would. Instead, I'll leave it to the merciful Lord. Dismissed.